Today's Bible lesson takes us to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. So let's turn there together. 2 Kings, chapter number 7. We're going to look at an amazing story today about four lepers, which is applicable to all of us. The first thing I want us to see as we turn to 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 3, the Word of God has this to say. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" So the first thing we want to see is, they were leprous men. Now, leprosy is a disease that starts with a little pimple on the eyelid or the palm of the hand. It then spreads to different members of the body. In its worst form, it causes members of the body to rot and fall off. For example, a person's finger may fall off one joint at a time, and then his entire hand. You see, leprosy was very contagious, so contagious that one who had it was to separate himself from the rest of society. If he met someone who was not a leper, he was to cross to the other side of the road. He was to cry, "Unclean, unclean," so as to remind the people not to associate socially with him. Now, in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. You see, sin usually starts out on the eyelids. We usually see, and then we take with our hands. Just as leprosy begins with just a small pimple, or so sin begins with a small act, or thought, or attitude. Amen? Just as leprosy finally separates, so does sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from fellowship with other Christians. And eventually, the unconverted person must be separated forever from God and from all Christian people. The second thing we want to see is there were four lepers. There were four lepers. Some suggest that the fact that there were four would imply that they represent all humanity from the four corners of the earth. In the Bible, four is the number of the earth. This is not the first time we see lepers in the Bible. They were an outcast people without hope. They were unwelcome in the city of Jerusalem. Because of their disease, they were unwelcome in the Syrian camp. We ought to have the kind of church where the outcast and rejected can find a home. We need to love people where they are and accept as they are in order to help them become all that God wants them to be. Now, the third thing we want to see is they took a gamble. They took a gamble. Look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 4 with me. The Word of God says this, "And if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall under the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So we see there was a famine in the land. If the lepers sat still, they died. If they went into the city, they died, for there was no food there. They decided that the only chance they had was to give themselves up to the enemy. In this case, the enemy was Syria. These men decided that if they went to Syria and gave themselves up, they could only be killed or be fed. What else could they do? They were going to die anyway, so they decided to chance it and surrender to the Syrians. My dear listeners, this is a great picture of man's desperation. I have found that people are hungry for something that will fill the emptiness of their soul. The success of fraudulent cults and stupid humanist philosophies prove that people will try anything, that's right, anything to give life meaning. Just as Jesus said, the fields are ready for the harvest of souls. I, for one, intend to be faithful in that harvest. Why should I fear to win souls when people are starving spiritually and are just waiting to be saved? Now, the fourth thing that we want to see about these four lepers is they were staying at the gate of the temple. They were staying at the gate of the temple because we're told in verse 3 of 2 Kings 7, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. You see, they knew where they could most likely be fed. They knew that the kind of person that went to the temple was the kind of person most likely to feed them. People can criticize the church all they want to, but when they get hungry, they come to the church. When they are in need, they go to the preacher of the church. Folks complain about the church that all they want is your money. But when they need some financial assistance, they have no trouble finding their way to the church parking lot. With all the faults of the church and with all the faults of Christian people, Christians are still the most helpful people on earth to those in need. In this, as it should be, amen. But I dare to ask, what are you doing to help people with their spiritual needs? If it's important and right to help with physical and financial needs, then why should we hesitate to help some folks saved and then help them to get baptized, establish in a church, and grow in Christ? Amen. The fifth thing I want us to see is that the Lord performed a miracle. The Lord performed a miracle. Notice with me in 2 Kings chapter 7, in verses 5 through 7, the Word of God says this: and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us, Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. The Lord caused the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. The Syrian army thought that their enemy was coming, so they fled. No one really knows how this was accomplished. Commentators have suggested a number of ingenious explanations, all involving natural phenomena, such as earthquakes, echoes, etc. At this point in the story, it is a good thing just to believe God can do anything he wants in any way he determines, amen? God wanted to spare these lepers. In the city of Jerusalem, and so he just did it. Amen. Here we see the great truth about salvation. It's all of the Lord. It is from heaven, not from man. It is by grace, not by works. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is apart from what the law can accomplish, as we are told in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16, the word of God says this: "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, which for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." My dear listeners, salvation is done apart from what anything man can do will accomplish. As we see in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, in verse number 5, we read this: "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." The next thing we want to see, number 6, is God provided for the lepers. God provided for the lepers. Looking in verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 7, we read this: "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it." So we see they came to the camp. The Syrians had fled and left their belongings. Notice what they found: food, drink, silver, gold, raiment, or clothing. They found a treasure consisting of all they needed to live. Amen. Think about it. This is what God gives us in salvation. The remnant of the clothing symbolizes the robe of righteousness with which we are covered. Silver in the Bible symbolizes redemption. Gold symbolizes that we are God's children. Therefore, we are royalty. The food symbolizes the Bible as the written Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. All of these things God gives with salvation. You see, you and I cannot obtain salvation by anything which we possess. We cannot add to salvation by anything which we own or can do on our own. Just as I cannot save myself, I cannot keep myself. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ promises. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 to 29, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul states that he, that's God the Father, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have said it before, and I will say it again. Salvation is all of God. Amen. The seventh thing that we want to see here is the lepers did something wrong. See, again in verse 8, it says, "When these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it." I want us to notice the words, "and went and hid it, and entered into another tent, carried thence also, and went and hid it." You see, this was the wrong that they did. They did not share with others what they had found. They hid it. Notice what the words of God say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You see, my dear listeners, we are not to hide the good news of the gospel. We are to spread it and tell others of it. You see, a lot of Christians are like the lepers. They do the same wrong thing that they did. They get saved, and then they hide the new life which Christ has given them. None of their friends find out that they've been saved. They'll learn how to be saved themselves. My dear listeners, this is a crime. The lepers realize this. Notice 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9, the first part of that verse, what it says. Then they said one to another, we do not well, this day is a good day, is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You see, they realized that God would punish them if they did not share what they had found. So they went to others. They went to tell others what they had found so others might share it. When a person comes to Christ, amen, and receives the blessing of God and of salvation, he is not to keep it to himself, no. He is to go back to the world and tell others what he has found so that they too might enjoy the blessings of God, amen. Let's review something of the soul-winning plan, amen. And let me ask you, will you go to heaven if you died? You can know for sure, the Bible says. First, we want to look at the problem. The problem. The Bible clearly tells us what the problem is. Amen. Now, the problem, as the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. There is none righteous, no, not one. And because of that, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every one of us has an appointment. Every one of us has an appointment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we are told this, is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. Each one of us has an appointment to keep, whether we want to or not. We'll die, and then there'll be a judgment. Notice the substitute. The substitute. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read this. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. We can avoid that judgment. Amen. By the substitute, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us who are sinners. But you have to accept. Amen. You have to accept that sacrifice, that substitute. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every person living today, right now, God gives a individual, personal invitation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the words of Almighty God say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and with me, and he with me. Is the Lord knocking at the heart of your door, door of your heart right now, my dear listeners? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've realized that you were a sinner as a result of your sin? The wages of sin is death, that you would end up in that lake of fire. But you turned to God's Son, God's sacrifice for your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you received him by faith. And you confessed his name with your mouth and believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you have, you're saved. If you haven't, you're on your way to a sinner's hell. But you don't have to go. Remember, we all have an appointment. Each one of us is going to die, and there's going to be a judgment. But you can avoid that judgment that will end you up in the lake of fire for time and eternity if you'll just accept God's invitation to come. Let him come, open the door of your heart, and let Christ come in. Trust him as your personal Savior. And if you have, then you have assurance of your salvation, for in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord has promised, For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What we've seen today in 2 Kings chapter 7 regarding the four leprous men. This is a great story because it reminds us of two great truths. It reminds us of man's desperation for something real and meaningful in life. It reminds us that God is the great provider of all which is real and meaningful. The bridge between a saving God and lost men must be those Christians who have heard Christ's voice. As we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Samaria and all of Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. My dear listener, if you're saved, hear God's voice and obey his summons to be a witness for him. He has given you the power to be a witness for him, has he not? He's promised it in Acts 1:8. Just be yielded to the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, as a believer. And my dear friend listening today, if you don't know for sure when you die 100% that you'd go to heaven, then you probably won't. You'll probably end up in the lake of fire. But you can be sure, as the Bible shows us clearly, that you're a sinner. The wages of your sin is death in the lake of fire where you'll burn for time and eternity. But you don't have to go there, because God the Father has provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in your place, to pay for your sins. Won't you confess him today? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead. And claim God's promise that you'll be saved.